The Gospel of John, chapter 9, and we begin our study in verse 17. Father, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, John chapter 9, Jesus has healed a man who was born blind. He has healed him on the Sabbath day. And the people of the city recognized him as the one who used to sit and beg, and they were amazed. And now some of these people were all excited, and they were going to take this man to the religious leaders to get their reaction. And so with that in mind, let's actually begin our reading in verse 13. They brought to the Pharisees him that formerly was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, He put clay upon my eyes, and I washed, and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, This man is not of God, and they are referring to Jesus, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, How can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They say unto the blind man again, What say thou of him, since he has opened your eyes? He said, He's a prophet. Well, this guy didn't know who Jesus was. He cured him of blindness. And the Pharisees wanted the healed man's opinion of Jesus. And he didn't know much about Jesus. He didn't know that Jesus was God, but he sure did figure that he must be from God since he did this remarkable miracle. And therefore, he came to the conclusion, well, Jesus is a prophet. And I guess that's a pretty good guess. His knowledge of Christ is not complete. He doesn't know everything that there is to know about Jesus Christ, but he's learning. And he will learn more. Before we're through with this study, he will know that Jesus is God. Why will he learn? Because he has a heart for truth. That's why. You have to be patient with those who maybe don't understand Christ, but they have a heart for Jesus. They have a heart for Jesus, and they want to learn truth. They love truth. There's a difference between people like that and others who just are in rebellion against truth. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, Is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then does he now see? Seems as if these religious leaders are trying very hard to discredit the miracle. They're not willing to believe that this was the man who had been born blind. So they call for the parents to see what they have to say. And they hope the parents say, He's not our son. Or perhaps, yeah, he's our son, but he has never been blind. Because that way they won't have to deal with the miracle that Jesus has done. 20. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. So the parents told the religious leaders what they knew, and that's all they told them. Which is what a witness is supposed to do. Just stick to the facts. This is what I see, this is what I hear, this is what I know. And so they say, He is our son, and yes, he was born blind. 21. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who has opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. And I'm sure that this formerly blind person told his parents that it was Jesus who healed him. But since they were not there, they did not answer as if they had been there. Their information concerning the healing of their son was secondhand. I mean, it was their son, and I'm sure they believed him, but it was still secondhand. They were not eyewitnesses, so they, again, stuck to the facts as they knew them for sure. And I think they did the right thing. It's important to measure our words carefully and not say that we know something is true unless we really know something is true. So this was the correct way to respond. But there definitely was another motive. 22. These words spoke his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore said his parents, he is of age. Ask him. So the parents were very happy to shift the testimony back to their son. Let him speak for himself. They were happy to do that because saying that Jesus is the one who healed their son would mean that these parents would get kicked out of the synagogue, kicked out of the Jewish religion. The religious leaders had the power to do that if they didn't like someone. Excommunication, and that was a big deal back in those days. Excommunication meant your possessions were taken away. It meant you lost your job. It meant you lost your business. You couldn't do business if you were excommunicated. Plus, you were kicked out of the Jewish religion, which meant hell in their minds. 24. Then again called they the man who was blind and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Talk about speaking of things that you don't know for sure. Making authoritative statements about something that you don't have a clue concerning. These religious leaders should have known better. They were reckless with their words. They said, we know that Jesus is a sinner. We know that. He's a sinner. We know that for sure. They speak as if they knew for a fact that he was a sinner. And of course, the fact is they didn't know that because he isn't a sinner and he wasn't a sinner. So they're speaking as if they know something when they don't know it. It's bad whenever anyone speaks an untruth. But it is much worse when someone who is supposed to be a spiritual leader says something that isn't true. That can do a lot of damage to a lot of people's faith. 25. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. This man is not interested in any more of their religious interrogation. All he knows is that he can see. And Jesus is the one who gave him that sight. That's all he knows. And he keeps saying it. And no matter how hard they try, the religious leaders cannot refute the honest testimony of this man who the Lord Jesus Christ healed. 26. Then said they to him again, what did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes? Well, he just told them what Jesus did. And now they ask again. Why do they keep asking him the same question? Well, they're either deaf or they're trying to get him to contradict his own testimony so that they can discredit him and Jesus Christ. But one thing is sure. This guy's getting tired of being asked the same thing over and over again. 27. He answered them, I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Why would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples? Oh boy, That was a courageous thing to say to these prideful, arrogant religious leaders who also were Christ haters. You keep asking about him. You keep bringing this up. You keep asking about Jesus. Are you changing your mind about him? You must be considering following him or something. 28. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. How dare this man even suggest that the Pharisees, who had opposed Christ, were wrong in their opposition and were now thinking about following him. How dare they even suggest such a thing? Or how dare he even suggest such a thing? They say, you're his disciple. Don't say that we're interested in becoming his disciple. You're his disciple. And of course they mean that as an insult. That's an insult, by the way, that a real Christian will wear as a badge of honor. You can accuse me of being a disciple of Jesus Christ anytime you want to, and I'll thank God every time you do. 29. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. Well, if these religious leaders don't know where Jesus is from, then it's their own fault. It's not because of lack of testimony. It's not because Jesus hasn't told them, and it's not because he doesn't have proof. It's their own fault. Jesus has told them many times that the Father has sent him. Not only that, the miracles that Jesus did showed clearly that he was from the Father. And even the Father's own voice, which spoke when Jesus was baptized, proved that he was from God. There's no lack of evidence that Jesus is from heaven, that he is from God. Only a lack of honesty in the heart of these religious rulers who were not interested in truth. And so verse 29 again, and then verse 30. We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from where he is. 30. The man answered and said unto them, Why, here is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from where he is, and yet he has opened my eyes. So look at this guy, talking to these haughty religious leaders. He says, I thought being cured of blindness was big news. But the fact that you religious know-it-alls cannot see where Jesus gets his power from, that's the really big story here. He sure isn't intimidated by these leaders, like many people were, including his own parents. 31. He continues, Now we know that God hears not sinners, but if any man be a worshipper of God and does his will, him he hears. That makes sense. God does not hear the prayers of those who are given over to evil. The Bible says that our sins have separated us from God, and he doesn't hear our prayers. And God also does not give evil men the power to do miracles. 32. The man continues, Since the world began, it was not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind. This man's trying to get these religious leaders to wake up. Nobody's ever done this before. Nobody who has ever lived, who was born blind, has ever been cured of that blindness. He's the first in history to ever have that done. Verse 33, he says, If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. Very simple, clear thinking, spiritual logic. Unlike the religious leaders, this guy's a simple man with no hidden agenda. That's why he's able to see truth, and that's why he's willing to accept it. Because he's a simple man with no hidden agenda. He's just an average guy who sees the truth and speaks it. And he just can't figure out how these religious leaders can find fault with a man who has done such a wonderful miracle. Here's their response, 34. They answered and said unto him, Thou was altogether born in sin. And do you teach us? they imply that this man was born blind because of some sin that he committed in his mother's womb. And people used to believe that, that you could commit a sin in your mother's womb and then be born with some kind of a disease or blindness or something like that. So that's what they're saying. And they say, given that, since you've been a sinner even from your mother's womb, what right do you have to teach us? Well, he has every right to teach them because he's speaking the Word of God and they need to hear it. That's what right he has. If you speak the Word of God, I don't care who you are, people should listen. You have a right to teach the Word of God. You have a right to speak the Word of God, and people ought to listen. But then it says, and they cast him out, which means that they excommunicated him from the synagogue. Kicked him out. And think about it. Why did they do it? Why did they kick him out? Because he was given sight, and he wouldn't condemn the one who gave it to him. And that's what they demanded. When a religion starts making unbiblical demands, don't wait to be kicked out. Leave. Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he had found him, he said unto him, do you believe on the Son of God? So notice, Jesus got word that this man was kicked out of the synagogue. And Jesus then went looking for him. Jesus went looking for this man after he heard the religious leaders excommunicated him. And he's standing by this man. If you stand up for Christ, he will stand by you. Let people reject you because you stand up for Christ. Just like these religious leaders rejected this formerly blind person because he stood up for Christ. Let people reject you because you take a stand for Christ. You have something much better than the company of that human trash. You have Jesus Christ. And he won't leave you. He won't forsake you. In fact, on Judgment Day, he will say in front of God the Father and all the angels, this one belongs to me. 36. He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe in him? Jesus asked this man the question. He found him and he said, do you believe in the Son of God? And the guy said, who is he? And I'll believe. Whatever you say, Jesus, I'll believe it. He wants Jesus to teach him. And he'll believe it. He had physical vision. Now he wants spiritual vision. He wants to know who the Son of God is so that he can believe in him. Here's the answer. 37. Jesus said unto him, you have both seen him, and it is he that talks with you. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm the Son of God. The one who gave this man his sight, Jesus Christ, is not simply a man. He is the Son of God. He is God. The one who did what was impossible is the one for whom all things are possible. Jesus is saying, I am the Son of God. I am God. 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. Notice that. As soon as he knew who God was, the Son of God was, same thing, he began to worship him. And Jesus received that worship. Jesus did not say, oh, don't worship me, I'm not God. If Jesus didn't know that he was God, he would have rejected this worship. He would have said, stop it, because that's what all the angels did. That's what Peter did. When people would kneel before him or before a good angel, they always stopped and say, don't do that, worship God. Jesus didn't do that. He received the worship. Don't tell me that Jesus didn't claim to be God. But I want you to see that when someone genuinely believes in Christ, they will give him genuine worship. And you see that right here. You don't have to teach a saved person that it's right to worship Christ. You don't have to teach a saved person even how to worship Christ. It all comes real natural. 39, and Jesus said, "For judgment I am come into this world, that they who see not might see, and that they who see might be made blind." Now, in other words, those who admit that they need spiritual sight will have it when they approach the Word of God with a heart for the truth and a heart for the Lord. Those who say, "I can see, I don't need the scriptures, I don't need Jesus, I don't need all this talk about Jesus," they are the ones who are in fact blind. And they will remain blind unless they repent. Verse 40. And some of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said unto him, "Are we also blind?" And so the religious leaders say, "You're not implying that we're spiritually blind also, are you, Jesus?" 41. Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin." In other words, if they would just admit that they were blind and that they needed a Savior, they could be forgiven. Jesus said, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, 'We see,' therefore your sin remains." In other words, they think they're righteous. They think that they see just fine. They don't need a Savior, they think. And that's why their sin remains. There cannot be any forgiveness unless one recognizes that they need a Savior, and that that Savior that they need is Jesus Christ. Now, chapter 10, the first six verses, goes right along with chapter 9. So we're going to look at those. "Verily, verily, Jesus said, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." A sheepfold was an area enclosed by a fence with a single gate. So picture a fence, an enclosed fence with a single gate. It was where the sheep were kept at night. Any person who climbs the fence to get into the sheep obviously doesn't belong there. If he did, he would use the door. And so it says in verse 2, Jesus says, "But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." You don't pry a window open to get into your locked home. You live there, so you have a key. You go through the front door. And in the same way, the owner of the sheep go through the gate, because it's his sheepfold and his sheep. He doesn't have to sneak around, because he belongs there. Verse 3. "To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Now, I have read and I have been told that sheep are not the smartest animals in the world. But they're smart enough to know the voice of the one who takes care of them. And the shepherd calls them by name, and they follow him. Now, as for that guy who climbed over the fence, they wouldn't trust him, and they don't follow him. He has a strange voice to them. Verse 4. "And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." The real shepherd doesn't have to drive his sheep. They follow him, because they know that he cares about them and provides for them. They like him. They recognize him. So they follow him. 5. "And a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers." The same God-given ability that causes a sheep to feel comfortable following their shepherd's voice causes them to run from the voice of a stranger. That stranger can talk nice to them, but forget it, he's a stranger, they won't follow him. 6. Here's the kicker. "This parable spoke Jesus unto them, to the religious leaders, but they understood not what things they were which he spoke to them. And why didn't they understand? Because they were not hearing the voice of the shepherd. Jesus spoke these words to the religious leaders, but they didn't understand. They didn't understand because they were not the Lord's sheep. If they would have been the Lord's sheep, they would have heard the master's voice, the shepherd's voice, and they would have followed him. That's what the story was all about. They didn't accept Jesus' teaching. They didn't accept his miracles. They didn't accept his word. They did not hear the voice of the good shepherd. Why? Why didn't they hear it? Why didn't they understand it? And why didn't they follow him? Because they were not his sheep. They don't belong to God. If they would have belonged to God, everyone who hears the words of Jesus Christ and follows him belong to God. Those who reject Christ reject the shepherd, thus giving proof that they don't know God. We'll pick it up right here in verse 7 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.